question. Would you be willing to give advice on how to practice Buddha Anusati? Also, do you happen to know of any suttas which are particularly useful for working with this theme? It's actually the classic way of developing the Buddha Anusati is the as is in the inner chanting, and it's a refrain that comes up in the suttas over and over again of the qualities of the Buddha and the that iti piso bhagava raham samma sambuddho vicha charna sampanno sukato loko vidu. A good word of the Blessed One, the reputation is spread as follows. He, the Blessed One, is indeed the pure one, perfectly enlightened one, impeccable in conduct and understanding, accomplished one, knower of the worlds, trains perfectly those who wish to be trained, teacher of gods and humans, is awake and holy. And whenever Buddha Anusati is, you say this, this is how you, in the suttas, when it says this is what you do to do develop Buddha Anusati, and then that's all there is, and it's a bit how do you say, bare bones, and not clearly explained. So that I think one of the things is taking these different qualities and reflecting on them and thinking back to different suttas that illustrate these qualities, and that's where a study of the suttas is really helpful and useful, where one in one's reading and one's studying, then one starts to kind of gain a bit of a picture of the Buddha, and so that it's more of a in terms of suttas that are define how you should develop Buddha Anusati, then that's not very clear. But then, of course, the suttas are the whole compilation of the Buddha's teachings and give pictures of how the Buddha's interactions with the monastic community, with the lay community, with devas, and so that you start to get a picture of the Buddha, and in some he actually speaks of his background or his life, not much. So that these are things that one starts to contemplate, and you know, I think at different times, different suttas will stick in one's mind and show different qualities. Just off the top of my head, the Chula Sihanata Sutta is one comes to my mind, the lesser discourse on the kind of the lion's roar of the Buddha. It's in Majjhima Nikaya, and Buddha giving different responses to the reasons why his teaching is exceptional, very straight shooter on that theme. And another sutta that popped into my mind is the Diganaka Sutta, where the Buddha dealing with kind of obstreperous Brahmin, and then giving you know, a very clear response and explanation of the nature of the Dhamma, nature of the result of practice, and you know, and it always got me at the very beginning that just the Buddha, how quick he was, how quick is his ability to not be flustered by you know, it's like this Brahmin sort of, you know, saying, basically giving a nihilistic view of the world, and saying, you know, there's no point of having any views, and the Buddha says, oh, well, even that view, what about that view? And then the Brahmin kind of having to sort of bluff his way through it, and then the Buddha giving very good advice, particularly on in the realm of feeling and its results, but also in you know, as one reading the sutta, so that then there's this a very human element of Sariputta. That day being the Upatak monk and looking after the needs of the Buddha, fanning him and listening to the Buddha dealing with this Brahman, and then Sariputta getting enlightened. Yeah. So it's just these when one recollecting the Buddha as an actual real human being, as opposed to a sort of the cosmic Buddha principle, I think it's a real important element to be reflecting and considering. So that there's recollections of the Buddha. I think one of the things that's important is that sense of how human or how real the Buddha was, and these recollections of the Buddha being, you know, impeccable in his, say, knowledge and conduct. These are important qualities to be recollecting, being a sort of one who is training others, and really reflecting on these different ways. And that's where one, let's say, going through the suttas with that in mind, that these are all illustrating the nature of the Buddha. No one thinks of the you know, because sometimes it does in the later literature, the Buddha becomes kind of the cosmic principle with kind of this aura of 7 or 9 different colored lights around him all the time, and it sort of distances him from the appreciation of that it's something that we can be using both as a recollection, but also as a model, and to something to emulate. You know, these qualities are something to emulate. So that they say rather than, you know, these sort of cosmic, almost mythological elements. And the Buddha was very special, but he was also human. To be able to recollect, and to me, the, you know, some of the qualities of displaying that kind of humanness are also his kind of a wry sense of humor, where you know, he's telling about his ascetic practices and eating just a few jujube fruits a day, said, you know, and the jujube fruits in those days weren't bigger than they were than they are now. And that's, you know, I wasn't eating much. admonishing the monks to be wary of gain, honor, praise, and fame. Somebody who's sort of proud of those things or infatuated those things is sort of like a dung beetle who gets up on his ball of dung and says, "Look at me! Look at how big my ball of dung is!" So that image is a wonderful sort of wry image. It's, the Buddha wasn't in humor or beyond human. He understood so well human nature. But still, he had these incredible qualities, incredible knowledge and understanding. So that using the one's study of the suttas and to really take the time to read the suttas, reading the primary sources of the Buddha's teachings, as opposed to reading some sort of popular kind of new agey reinterpretation of what the Buddha would have been like if he'd have been, if he was from Sedona or something. So,